Welcome back for part two of True News. Do you like to listen to music? We have an alternative to Pandora, iHeart, iTunes, and Spotify. It's called Praiser. 48 streams of music, many more streams coming in 2016. The Praiser business model is disruptive. There are no subscription fees and no advertisements. Download the app, tell others about it. Praiser, P-R-A-Z-O-R. The headline in the Telegraph today says debtor days are over as BIS calls time on world credit binge. The London newspaper said today the world's credit boom is beginning to show dangerous signs of unraveling, ushering in a period of fresh turmoil for the over-indebted global economy, says the Bank of International Settlements. The Globe's top financial watchdog called time on the world's debt binge, noting that debt issuance and cross-border flows in emerging economies slowed for the first time since the aftermath of the global credit crunch at the end of last year. Over at the Times in London, the morning headline proclaimed global fears as markets lose faith in central banks. The Times said the global economy is heading for a storm as faith in policymakers dwindles, according to a stark warning from one of the world's most respected financial institutions. The uneasy calm in financial markets last year has given way to turbulence, says the Bank for International Settlements. Financial markets are losing faith in the healing power of central banks and their latest policy weapon, negative interest rates, to boost the world's main economies. My guess has been telling us for years that the day of reckoning is coming and that the public would eventually lose faith in the central banks. Mr. Peter Schiff is the founder and president of Euro-Pacific Capital. The website is europac.net. He's also the host of Schiff Radio. The website is schiffradio.com. Peter, sounds like the BIS economists read your book, The Real Crash.
Well, I'm not sure if they've read it, but they should. And, you know, to me, it doesn't make any sense that we've had confidence in central bankers that's lasted so long, because they've gotten everything completely wrong, including missing the financial crisis of 2008. In fact, not only did they miss it, they caused it. But they didn't even recognize how their policies had inflated the real estate bubble, nor did they realize the implications for the financial sector and the economy when that bubble popped. This is even worse. The bubble that they've inflated these past 7 years is even bigger than the last one, and I think it's already popped. The air is coming out. I think the U.S. economy is already back in recession, and I think we're in a bear market in stocks. It's just that nobody is willing to acknowledge that yet, just like they didn't acknowledge the Great Recession of 2008 until it was almost over. I think they've made the same mistake again. They're still blind to the bubble that's popped and to the recession that's already begun.
There's talk that Mario Draghi is going to take the European Central Bank deeper into negative interest rate territory later this week. Are you hearing anything about that?
Well, there are some rumors that they might go in that direction, and I think they're nearing the end of this negative interest rate experiment. It's been a disaster. It's blown up in their faces. It's clobbering the European banks, which in many cases the stocks of European banks are lower than they were at their lows of the 08 financial crisis, and negative rates are just making the problems bigger. Meanwhile, you're getting a resurgence in commodity prices, oil prices up again another dollar today. Now we're up $37 a barrel. Industrial metals have been rising. Lead prices, I think, are surging today. But also, you've got gold prices now up at $1,270 an ounce. They're up better than $200 an ounce since the Fed hiked rates in December. So we're starting to see a resurgence of commodity prices, which means inflation, which means stagflation, which means that a lot of these central banks that have been using the low inflation rates as an excuse to print money, they're going to run out of excuses, because this is going to mean the cost of living is going to be going up, and the central banks actually are going to have to start raising interest rates, not cutting them. The problem is, in America, we're too broke to afford higher interest rates because we have too much debt. And so I think we're going to let inflation run away, which is just going to compound the problems for the average American who is suffering dramatically during this so-called recovery.
Peter, what explains this sudden increase in commodity prices when demand is down?
Well, you know, it's the dollar going down, but also supply. The price is a function of supply and demand, and there's been a lot of reduction in exploration and production, so that's also causing prices to go up. But the dollar has been weakening. The dollar is at a 7-month low today against the Australian dollar, for example. The dollar has been weakening considerably in recent months, or more particularly recent weeks, against Southeast Asian currencies, against currencies in South America. And so as the dollar comes down, that increases demand for commodities because they're priced in dollars. And so when the dollar goes down, that brings down the price of commodities, and demand is very sensitive to price. The lower the price, the greater the demand. So I think the supply and demand dynamics are beginning to shift, and I think we're going to see much, much higher prices as the year progresses, and particularly the following several years as the Fed goes back to negative or goes back to zero in the U.S. I think we're going back to zero before the election. Whether or not we go negative, it's hard to say. Maybe it's a 50-50 bet. But I do think we're going back to QE. I think we're going to do QE4 before the election. And that's going to really push commodity prices up even faster.
It's interesting you said that because CNBC today is peddling the story that the Federal Reserve is going to hike interest rates in 2016.
Well, they've been saying that all along. In fact, they said the same thing about 2015, and they actually expected several hikes in 2015. And at the end, we only got one hike, and it didn't happen until December. And look at all the damage that's happened since the Fed hiked rates. The stock market was off to its worst start in history. I think the economy is rapidly losing momentum. In fact, the jobs numbers that came out on Friday, everybody wants to pretend that it was such a great report. 90% of the jobs that were created were part-time jobs. Believe me, people want full-time jobs. They don't want part-time jobs. 80% of the jobs were in low-wage service sector jobs, a substantial number being minimum wage jobs. And if you actually look at hours worked, which were down, and wages, which were down, when you combine the two, weekly earnings were down by 0.7%. That was the biggest drop in weekly earnings in the history of the United States, or at least in the history of keeping track. So it was a terrible report, but everybody, including the president, the media, the Fed, wants to fixate on the low unemployment rate, 4.9, or the fact that we're still creating 200,000 jobs without acknowledging that we're creating low-paying part-time jobs. And the reason that the unemployment rate is so low is because so many people have accepted those lousy jobs because they can't find good jobs, or have exited the labor force completely and are therefore not even counted as being unemployed, even though they don't have jobs.
Peter, in early January, Bloomberg News fired the opening shot in a coordinated propaganda campaign calling for the end of cash. What's the motive behind this current narrative that paper money needs to be eliminated, that we need to become go to a cashless society?
Well, first of all, paper money is not all that great, right? You want gold money. You want real money. To the extent that you have paper circulating, you want it backed by gold. But the reason that the government wants to move from worthless paper money to worthless, digital money is so the government can keep better track of us. Because when you use cash, if I go and I spend money and I give somebody $50 and I buy things, the government has no idea that I just made that transaction. But if they force everybody through the banking system so that you have to make your purchase using electronic money via a bank debit card or something like their credit card, then the government knows exactly what you're doing, and they can keep better tabs on you, and they can also control, there's a whole underground economy that's escaping taxation because they're dealing in cash. So if they can force the underground economy to come above ground into the banking system, it's much more easier for the government to tax it. So that's really what's going on. And then the second thing is, to the extent that the U.S. government tries to do negative interest rates, one of the reasons that they don't get what they're hoping for is, if the bank starts charging you negative rates, well, you just take your money out of the bank and stuff it in your mattress, and now, you're not paying a negative rate. So, but if the bank eliminates cash, well, then you can't do that. Then you're stuck with a negative rate. So either you spend your money quickly or watch it disappear, because you have no ability to take out the cash. But, what I tell people to do is forget cash. I mean, if you want to, just buy gold and silver, because why would you want to stuff cash under your mattress? That's just going to lose value. You might as well have gold coins or silver coins in a safe rather than just, stacks of 20s or 100s, whatever you got, in your house.
I saw an article out of Germany over the weekend, Der Spiegel magazine, that Austrian banks are being told to stockpile cash. What do you think is happening with the European banks that they're being told to have larger amounts of cash on hand?
I don't know. Maybe there's more withdrawals, so the banks need the cash because people are showing up. You know, I read that one of the best-selling items in Japan right now are safes because the Japanese are taking their money out of the bank and they need a place to put it. So that's what's going on.
Well, what did they think was going to happen when they started talking about eliminating cash? I mean, it's scaring people.
If they eliminate it, chances are they're going to make you turn in the cash that you've got, right? I mean, I don't know if they're going to grandfather any of it. I'm not sure how it's going to work. They might just say, okay, you've got a certain amount of time to turn in these bills, and if you don't turn them in, they're not worth anything. Although they're not worth anything anyway, so I don't know what they do. They just say they're no longer legal tender. They say they won't accept them maybe in payment of taxes or something.
Yeah, well, I've got a better idea. Why don't we eliminate the Federal Reserve?
That is a better idea, but no.
I mean, where do these people get this idea that they have the authority to eliminate currency? And we're tolerating this.
Well, they don't have
stuff.
The authority to do anything that they do. I mean, first of all, the Federal Reserve is a private banking syndicate. It's not even part of the government because the government constitutionally doesn't have the authority to print money. I mean, that wasn't a power that the federal government was authorized.
That's right. So, Peter, why do we tolerate this stuff?
Well, because we tolerate everything. I mean, everything the government does is illegal. The courts don't enforce the Constitution. They let the government get away with murder. That's the problem. The nature of the country has changed dramatically over time. We're no longer a free people governed by the rule of law. We have an all-powerful government that does whatever it wants. And so one of the things it might want to do next is eliminate cash, although they haven't actually done that yet. Although if you realize that the biggest bill we have is 100, which is not that big considering how little $100 buys these days, because they had $100 bills 50 years ago, 100 years ago, and they were far more valuable. In fact, 100 years ago, there were $500 bills. There were $1,000 bills. In fact, the biggest bill that the government used to make, the Fed used to make, was a $100,000 bill. So can you imagine 100 years ago what a $100,000 bill was worth?
So they have been gradually.
A $100 bill is like a $1 bill, right? I mean, a $100 bill today is like a $1 bill in 1913, as far as what it will buy you. So people used to buy a lot for pennies and nickels back then.
So truthfully, they are gradually eliminating cash because they've got it down now to we have 100, a 50, a 20, a 10, and a 5, and a 1. That's it.
Yeah, in a lot of places, look, go on an airplane, buy something. They won't take cash. You got to use a debit card. I mean, there are some businesses that won't take cash. They just want to have it on a card. And most Americans, too, if you look out throughout your day, people don't carry a lot of cash. I mean, they don't. I mean, I was just at the money show, and I had some extra copies of my book. And I said, oh, yeah, my book, I'm selling copies of my book, The Real Crash, autographed copies, you get $20. And you'd be surprised how many people don't have $20. They're in Las Vegas. They don't have $20. Do you take a credit card? Because I don't have $20 cash.
If the Fed would make a move to eliminate cash, what kind of response do you think we would have from the general public?
Well, I think the public would not like that. I mean, certainly, and certainly, again, there's a lot of people that don't even want to use bank accounts because they're too expensive. They don't even want to deal with it. But you have a whole underground economy. I'm hoping that the people will wise up and start going to silver, silver and gold, And that, and we sell that at Shift Gold. So, I think gold's just going up. I mean, look, that's part of the reason that gold prices keep rising. I mean, they're getting close now to $1,300 an ounce, and I think that's going to be a key level. Once we get above there, I think it can be a pretty quick shot up to $1,500 to $2,000. The high from 2012 was about $1,900. I think we're going to take that out by next year, and I still think $5,000 gold is coming. People were giving me a lot of crap because I've been predicting it. It hasn't happened. Well, that's always how my predictions work. They don't happen until they do. And then, they try to deny me the credit for getting it right by saying I'm a stop clock. But, I've gotten a lot of stuff right, so it's hard to say. It's simply because of
the two London headlines I read today validate what you've been saying on this program and other programs for years, that the debtor days are over, there's a day of reckoning coming, and people are losing faith in the central banks. You've been saying that for years, and here it is now.
Look, they're using faith in the central banks. They're losing faith in government. Look at the Republican Party. The two most popular candidates, Donald Trump and Ted Cruz, the establishment hates both of those guys. right? There, you know, I mean, Cruz was probably the least popular U.S. senator because he, you know, he was a thorn in their side trying to shake things up, and he's the only one that can manage to even stay competitive with Donald Trump, who obviously is a big, a finger in the face of the Republican establishment, because that's why the public wants Donald Trump, because he's not what they have, because he's something different, he's something new, because what we have now doesn't work, and so people are desperate for anything else. That's also why Bernie Sanders is doing so well. In fact, if it wasn't for the black vote, Bernie Sanders would be the Democratic nominee, which is amazing that the Democrats would go for a professed socialist. Normally the Democrats who are socialists stay in the closet. You know, they don't actually admit that they're socialists, even though they are. But Bernie Sanders has embraced his inner socialist. You know, he's wearing it on his sleeve, and he's getting massive votes. The only reason he's not winning is because blacks are voting overwhelmingly for Hillary Clinton. And I think it has nothing to do with the rejection of the Sanders message. I don't think the black voters even know what Sanders' message is. I don't think they've even researched what he stands for. I just think they're voting for what is perceived to be the candidate that cares about their interests, because Hillary Clinton is more associated with Barack Obama, who has massive support in the black community, and because Bill Clinton was popular and well-known in the black community. So I think she's just getting the benefit of that familiarity. But if the black voters actually studied and actually voted for the candidate that most represented how they felt and what they wanted, Bernie Sanders would be the nominee. So that shows you, you know, where the country has gone, how fed up everybody is.
And we see it in other parts of the world. I mean, there's clearly that we're in a cycle, a cycle of unrest, of civil disturbances. Look what's happening in Europe. England, Great Britain wants out of the European Union. There are movements in other countries to get out of the European Union. The establishment around the world is having trouble holding on to power.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I mean, all of these major Western powers are broke. I mean, they've voted themselves into bankruptcy, and the welfare states are collapsing in underneath a mountain of debt. That's what's going on. That's why the real rising powers are to the east. It's, you know, a lot of the emerging economies, China and other places in Southeast Asia, that don't have all the baggage of, you know, 50, 100 years of a welfare state. People in these countries are working. They're producing. They're saving. They're not relying on government. They're not dependent on government. And this is a huge transition that we're witnessing now, which is why, you know, I'm trying to make sure that at least our clients at my brokerage firm at Euro Pacific Capital are profiting from this. I mean, as Americans, they're going to suffer. But as investors, they can prosper if they invest the right way, if they get out of U.S. assets and become invested in assets in the countries that are going to benefit from this huge change in global living standards and purchasing power. As the dollar tanks and a lot of these other currencies rise in value to reflect their greater productivity over the years, that up until recently has really been hidden.
Let's take some of the final minutes and talk about these strategies. How can people get on the right side of the changing tide in world affairs?
Well, first of all, get out of U.S. dollar-denominated assets. You don't want to own CDs or bonds, corporate bonds, muni bonds, treasury bonds, and dollars. They're just going to collapse in value as the Fed has to keep printing dollars to prop everything up. So you want to invest in sounder economies, places like Singapore, like Switzerland, like New Zealand. There's a handful of markets that are really in good shape, developed markets that have sounder currencies and positive fundamental environment and economic balances. And we invest in stocks and bonds in these countries in the right industries. We create good dividend-paying for portfolios for our clients at Euro Pacific Capital. And also take advantage of the opportunities in gold, particularly in the mining sector. I mean, some of these stocks have been beaten up severely in the last few years. I think you have real opportunities if you're a risk taker to buy stocks that in the next year or two can move up 5-10-fold, maybe even more in a short period of time. But you got to know which stocks to buy, and so we help people put together portfolios of mining stocks. I run a mutual fund too that focuses on gold mining stocks as well as some other mutual funds. And people can get information, you know, from their Euro Pacific Capital Advisor at europac.com, and also physical precious metals. I mean, gold, silver. Silver is now breaking above $15. It was up around $50 a few years ago. We're going to get back up there again. I think we're going much higher in this next leg up of this bull market. The bull market began with silver below $4 an ounce around 1999, 2000, got as high as 50, pulled back. I think the pullback is over. And shiftgold.com is my metals company. We've got the best prices online. If you're interested in buying gold and silver, bullion or bars, you know, go to shiftgold.com to buy some.
Peter, what's the state of the real estate market in America?
Well, look, home ownership right now is near a 50-year low. What happened is a bunch of people got levered up during a real estate bubble. Many of those people have lost their homes, and they're now renting. Rents have gone up every year for the past six or seven. In fact, the number of people who now spend half their income on their rent is at an all-time record high. But the reason that home ownership rates are so low is because real estate is still too expensive relative to the lower earnings that Americans have. And so what has to happen is real estate prices have to come down. And the last thing that's keeping real estate prices propped up is artificially low interest rates from the government and the fact that the federal government has now totally taken over the subprime market and is allowing people to buy houses with barely no down payment and with little or no documented income. So the government is up to its old tricks. They're trying everything they can to keep this bubble from inflating, but it's not going to work. Real estate's going down again. We have another big leg down coming in the real estate market.
Really? You're expecting another
prices
drop?
Prices have to come down. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Prices have to come down. And, you know, the big buyers of single-family homes over the last 4 or 5 years have been hedge funds and private equity funds. And they're going to dump these properties on the market because once interest rates go up, and they will go up eventually, they can't afford to carry these properties anymore. And a lot of them are sitting vacant. A lot of these homes they can't rent because there's no tenants who can afford them.
Who are they going to dump them to? The Chinese?
Whoever. Well, the Chinese are certainly going to buy certain U.S. properties. I mean, if they're in the right areas, if they're in Manhattan or they're on the beach in Maui or something, or maybe in Southern California or Miami or something. But a lot of the properties, there is no appeal outside the United States. I mean, no European or Asian investor is going to buy, you know, property just in middle America, just in some suburb. I mean, what are they going to do with it? You know, nothing. And so, yeah, they're going to dump it to the highest bidder, and, you know, the highest bidder is going to be bidding pretty low. So there's a lot of air beneath this housing market. And, you know, right now, the reason that home sales are falling is because there's not a lot of supply on the market, and the prices are too high. But all of a sudden, the supply is going to hit, and there's going to be no demand.
What would you speculate will be the next percentage drop in home values? 10%, 30, 40?
Well, it's, you know, it all depends on how much inflation we have, because the more inflation there has, the less the drop will be, because, you know, but in real terms, prices are going way down. I think in real terms, if you want to measure a house price in terms of gold, right, this next decline is going to be much bigger than the decline we had in 2008. I mean, this is going to be obliterated. So I'd much rather own gold than a house, because if you own gold, you'll be able to buy a lot of house in a few years.
What about commercial real estate? What's the condition?
Commercial real estate is going to get clobbered too, because commercial real estate is ultimately like a bond, because it trades like based on the cap rate. And as interest rates go up, you know, assuming your rents don't, you know, the value of that property goes down. And, you know, I think this next recession is going to be a massive collapse of the service sector. I mean, the service sector is going to be in so much trouble. And so a lot of the office space is shopping. It's malls. It's, you know, strip malls and shopping centers. And, you know, these companies are going to be closing up. Look at the horrible numbers, the earnings that have been reported by all these big retailers.
The Sports Authority just announced last week they're shutting down.
Yeah, they're going bankrupt. They're closing like a third of their stores. But this is across the board because, you know, A, a lot of people are shopping online now. And so these guys just have big warehouses in the middle of nowhere. They don't need expensive storefronts. So a lot of these retailers are shutting down. They're closing stores or laying off workers. And so there's a glut of retail space on the market. So that means a lot of, you know, retail space is just going to be empty. And so that's going to take away from the cash flow from a lot of these buildings. And I just think there's going to be a lot more unemployment, too, in some of the service sector jobs. So some of the office space is going to be coming back on the market. I mean, what we need is more factories, more industrial space, but not many people own industrial property. It's all retail or office buildings, and a lot of the office buildings are service sector related. So, you know, there's going to be a huge glut of empty space. And I can already see that, too. I mean, if you have office, I recently closed a couple of offices of my broker-dealer to kind of consolidate and lower costs. And, you know, we have nice furniture, and you can't get rid of it. I mean, I can't sell it. The cheapest thing I can do is get somebody to take it away from me and not charge me. You know, I mean, or a lot of people just wanted money to cart it away. There's no demand for used office furniture, even if it's pretty nice, because nobody is starting a business right now. And so if you're not starting a business, what do you need the furniture for? If everybody is downsizing, the desks are worthless, the chairs are worthless, the cubicles are worthless. Nobody wants the stuff.
I have a whole office furnished with new furniture that people couldn't get rid of.
No, and even if you call the charities and you want to give it to the charities don't want it. They have too much. They don't have any room to store it.
That's right.
Yeah, I mean, so all you could do is destroy it.
Well,
take it to a dump.
Do you think, Peter, we'll get through 2016 without the next wave of this recession that's on the way?
Well, look, you know, I hope not. I mean, not that I'm rooting for bad things. I just rather have it happen sooner rather than later, since I believe it's inevitable. You know, because when the bubble burst under Bush, the last bubble, it burst in 2008. And that meant that Bush got blamed and Obama got the benefit. But, of course, 8 years of Obama have been a disaster. And, you know, if this thing doesn't burst before the election, then maybe Hillary is going to be the next president. I would rather see the bubble burst now, right, while Barack Obama is still in the White House, so he takes the blame, and Hillary's got no chance of winning. Now, you know, that means we either get Donald Trump or we get Ted Cruz as the most likely scenario, but, you know, either one of those guys would be much better than having Hillary. And I know Trump is a bit of an unknown loose cannon, but, you know, I think he's intelligent guy, and I think that there's a lot of the stuff that he says that I agree with. A lot of his solutions won't work, and hopefully he'll figure that out, you know, because he's shown he has the ability to change his mind. I mean, when, you know, he believes a lot of things and he believes them, but if he sees evidence that will show him that, hey, maybe something that he believes isn't true, he's open-minded enough to recognize that. So, I think having him in the White House would be a lot better than having a Hillary Clinton.
Well, we'll let that be the final word. Peter Schiff, founder and president, Euro-Pacific Capital, the website europac.net, and also the host of Schiff Radio. Thank you, Peter. Appreciate you being here today.
Hey, my pleasure. Take care.